podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast. And I'm delighted today. And look, today's been like one of those whirlwind days. John Duran just signs out of nowhere. There was no kind of inclination anybody was going to sign for Aston Villa. And now I'm sitting here talking to the wonderful Tom Bogart from MLS Insider and the UN Men's National Team Insider as well. It's funny how life comes at you fast, Tom, isn't it? It's funny that way.
Yeah, you're telling me. I was I heard a couple of whispers of this possibly happening like last night, and I sent a couple of texts to sources at Chicago, and it was like, they're in the mix. I'm not sure if anything's like agreed or close or whatever. And then this morning, I tried to stay off my phone after waking up, walking the dog, and then I pick it up, and it's like, not only is it happening, but Aston Villa is announcing it. So it's like, okay, I guess that moved pretty quickly here.
Yeah, it's been one of those ones whereby I don't think anybody, well, it was muted in kind of darker circles, I suppose, really on the internet about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I kind of just happened to spot it. I literally went into Twitter and typed in Aston Villa transfers. And there was this obscure kind of rumor with regards to it, but mostly it was kind of like Aston Villa are linked with. Mm-hmm. So are Liverpool, Chelsea, Benfica, Manchester United. So when you see stuff like that, it's a case of, oh, is this going to be agent talk? But it's really interesting from the point of view, I think, that Aston Villa fans are going to look at this, because we've never really scoured markets of abroad and foreign markets, and to pick up somebody at 19 years of age that realistically, you know, he's commanded a big fee, but he only spent 1 year in the MLS. Can you talk to us a small bit about, I suppose, you know, he only came in as an 18-year-old last year. How did he take to the league? Because he's got the physical attributes. He's a fully grown man. Mm-hmm. You know, how did he take to the league in general?
Yeah, so he wasn't starting a ton when he first got there. But again, this was a kid. His birthday is in December, so he turned 18 right before preseason. Like, Chicago originally signed him when he was 17, but because of like FIFA international rules, you can't move until your 18th birthday. So this was long in the plans for Chicago, and it was really quick. So he was always destined to go to Europe. So I was curious to see how quickly it might take him to kind of adapt to the league and get a foothold. He wasn't starting at first. They were struggling in attack. They had also spent a decent amount of money on a more veteran center forward, and they were only playing with one striker. So that veteran center forward got the chances, and he wasn't playing very well. And John Duran came in as a starter kind of in the beginning of the summer. And he was just phenomenal. It was very clear from his minutes. It's like, all right, like, not only is this kid ready to start in MLS, like, he might be gone in the winter. Like, that's how quickly kind of things are moving. And like you said, he's a big boy. He's very physical. MLS is obviously a physical league. And he did not look like an 18-year-old kid. Like, it was wild. It was until you kind of saw after he'd score and the close-up would come on him. He has like a boyish smile. And it's like, oh my God, like, he just shouldered away like a 200-pound center back and then scored. And you think that this is a 28-year-old man. And then they zoom in on him with a celebration, and it's just like this kid, this teenager celebrating a goal. It was pretty pure, and it was a lot of fun. I wish he was in the league for a little bit longer, but it was pretty clear that he was ready for this next step.
Excellent. Apologies, Tom. I don't know. Can you hear me at this moment in time? Because I'm getting all notifications to say here that, because I literally at the very end of what you said to me there, I completely lost your audio, so I can no longer hear you.
You can't hear me anymore.
So let me just try and sort this out. This is let me see if I can sort out this audio. I completely lost you there. I do apologize.
Right.
You can still hear me though, yes?
Yeah.
And can everybody else hear Tom? Because this is like something that just happens to me.
That's awful. But I guess lightning.
Can everybody else hear me? And can everybody else hear Tom? I suppose is the main part. Yeah, I think everybody else can hear you. Yeah, you can still hear me, Tom. That's good. What I'm going to do, if you don't mind, Tom, and sorry for leaving you on the screen on your own, I'm just going to pop out, pop back in again, if that's okay. I have no
that's
idea
good.
What's going on.
That's good. Maybe I'll just fill time here. Yeah, the comments say that they can hear us both. But no, I guess nice to see you all in the comments here as he reloads. No, Duran has been has been fun. Like I was saying, like, I really wish he stayed in the league for another year, because he was a whole lot of fun. Like, I think that he would have scored 20 goals as the no question about it starting center forward. But this kid really wanted to leave. He wanted to leave last summer. Neil, can you hear me as I'm feeling?
I got you back.
All right, I'm gonna finish that last thought because I had to filibuster. But he wanted to leave in the summer. Like, he was putting things on social media about, like, they won't let me go, or like, I want to leave. He was at the club for like 5 months, and it was the first transfer window after he arrived. So yeah, he was ready. Definitely personally, he was ready technically and physically. So it's no surprise that this came through.
Excellent. See, Tom's a complete nutter pro. He was able to get in there. He's able to fill the void. Unlike me, obviously, who's just winging it for the last couple of years. But I heard a good portion of what you said there. Last 10 seconds of it. And it is, you know, as I said, that's a very good synopsis of probably what I've seen of the player as well. With regards to him, you know, you mentioned something there that, you know, he was probably angling to move during the summer last season. His temperament on the field as well at times can be called into question. And you know, when he comes to Europe, he's going to come up against some guys who are, like, I put it this way, if we were to play Spurs again and Christian Romero was in his ear and tackling him every so often, I think that could be a box office fight. Was his temperament that obvious, I suppose, or was his hot temperament that obvious when he played with Chicago Fire?
I'm trying to be careful to make it sound like he was a bad kid or anything. Like, look, he was an 18-year-old who,
of course,
saw the money of the Premier League, saw everything in Europe, everything that has been promised to him, I'm sure, for the last 4 or 5 years. So I don't necessarily love that he was going on, like, Instagram and putting stuff up. But again, it's a kid. And even people at the club, when I was talking to them about it, they're like, look, he's a teenager. He makes mistakes. We've talked about it. He apologized. We're all good. And on the field, like, again, I wouldn't call him, like, temperamental. I would call him fiery. I would call him as somebody passionate. And like, I love players like that. So, like, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. But, you know, occasionally players like that can be susceptible to, as you said, getting kind of a few tackles or a few kind of late nudges, defenders who wind you up, like, maybe. But again, like, it wasn't anything overt where it's like, this guy has an attitude problem or this guy has trouble controlling his emotions. Like, it was nothing that bad, but he's definitely a passionate player.
Yeah, and as you say, 18 years of age, just turned 19 in December, 4 international caps, 6'1" and built like Mike Tyson, you know. Like, these guys, it's good that Villa are taking a shot in guys like this, I think, for sure. And as I say, 8 goals in the MLS last season.
Yeah, and like 1,300 minutes if you look at the appearances, it was like 27 appearances. But a lot of them were off the bench to begin with. And then when he was playing regular, consistent minutes, he was scoring almost every game.
Yeah. And like, what, if you were to say his key attributes, and sorry if you did cover this when you spoke previously, as I say, I do apologize. I did lose your audio. But, you know, key attributes for somebody like Jean Durand, you know, what I've seen from him and what I've heard people say is that he's that forward who can stand and can trade with a centre half. He can also, you know, dissolve into the channels and maybe play on the counter attack as well. But if Tom Bogart was picking him to play in a specific system, what would you feel he would need around him to succeed?
I do think that he's going to be really good in transition, particularly at first, because as you say, like, the strengths are obvious. Like, his physical tools, he's got great pace. He's obviously very strong, good center of gravity, all of that. And his finishing ability is very good for his young age. But again, like any other 18, 19-year-old striker, there are rough edges around his game. Like, his hold-up play is fine, but it's going to need to improve. He can't give the ball away cheaply in the Premier League as he may have in MLS. And again, Chicago weren't very good last year, so it wasn't out of the ordinary for them to lose possession all that often. So I think that he's going to need to smoothen out those edges of his game. So I think at right now where he is, playing in a transition system, playing as, you know, Unai Emery has been playing, what, 4-4-2, right?
Yes, yeah.
So him playing with another striker, I think, is going to be super helpful as well. And, you know, in a system where he's able to get out on the run, get into space, get into the channels, and then get in the box, like, I think that'll suit him well. I'm not sure if he's, you know, how many minutes he's going to play at first and how good he's going to look, because we've seen, look, Ricardo Pepi went from FC Dallas to Augsburg last year, and I thought that he was going to be, you know, that's a relegation fight in Germany. I thought he'd be able to be fine. He wasn't fine. He didn't score a goal. They stopped playing him, and then they loaned him to the Netherlands. Like, I'm trying to at least be cautious that I know that I'm going to come off sounding like Jean Durand's a great player. I've seen him do all these great things in MLS. Like, I think that he's more advanced right now than Ricardo Pepi was last winter. But I, you know, you still have to worry about, again, this is a 19-year-old kid who spent one season in MLS and, you know, 1.5 seasons in Colombia. Like, the jump to the Premier League is going to be big. But again, like, yeah. I think that he has some of those raw tools, that finishing ability. He should be all right. But again, you know, maybe don't pencil him in as a starter right away.
Exactly. Yeah. And you had a tweet out previously about, you know, the, where this kind of ranks in the pantheon of the transfer fee in moving from an MLS squad, squad to somewhere else. And the question I really want to ask here is that we're seeing more and more South Americans move from South America to the MLS as a kind of a gateway to Europe to probably make the transition a small bit easier. Is this something that the MLS is pushing, or do you think that this is something that South American players have kind of seen, whereby they could get to learn the language? Obviously, English being a universal language within Europe as well, and then obviously learning how to play in structure. Or what do you think has kind of borne this? Because there's been some pretty high-profile young players have moved from South America to the MLS in the last year or two.
Yeah, no, it even goes back before that. MLS has been trying, as the league has grown, one of the big driving forces behind that are clubs getting better with scouting and going to South America and identifying talent. There had been a lot of overpaying in the past. You know, some of the first players, they were probably making significantly more money in MLS than they were in South America. But that's how it starts. When the league, you have to kind of spend more to go to somewhere that, you know, look, all players from South America are dreaming of going to the Premier League or to Barcelona, Real Madrid. They weren't thinking about MLS. Now, after, look, you look at over the last decade, a player like Diego Valeri, who might not be well known in Europe, he left a pretty big club in Argentina, and he was at the Portland Timbers for a decade. You get paid well here. The check's always cashed. You don't ever have to worry about the check's not coming or the check's coming late. You get to play in a league where you're in a team. You're usually the star, or depending on what part of your kind of development you are. And the idea over the last few years is you come to MLS, you're paid well, you develop, because it is a good league, despite what, you know, some archaic thoughts about where MLS is. It's somewhere between, I don't know, the Netherlands and, you know, it's around the Brazilian league, maybe not quite as good, but it's a second tier league across the world. This isn't like the Estonian first division or something where you're just getting paid pretty well. So it's a good league to again, make good money, get seen. There's a lot of people in Europe who do watch this league or pay attention to this league. There are a lot of scouts looking at this league because they've recognized that MLS clubs are going to South America, helping develop a player who might not have been ready for Europe. And then they play here. The level is good enough to convince Aston Villa to spend upwards of $18 million up front, with up to, you know, $22 million, including add-ons, for a player who's, again, had a season in MLS and, you know, 1,500 minutes in Colombia. Like, that kind of profile, I think, shows that Aston Villa, the scouts there, believe that this is a high-quality player, that what he showed in MLS wasn't just because the level of the league was bad.
And the league is something that we're actually going to be hopefully looking forward to, I suppose, a small bit more, the MLS, because one of our owners, our part owner in Wes Edens, and I think Nassif Sawiris are both involved in it as well. The Las Vegas Villains seem like they're going to get underway again. With the MLS expansion, what's kind of feeling around America, around the US for that? Do you think it's going to be a hit? Because every kind of expansion they've had has initially been a hit, and then it's kind of taken time, from what I've seen, and I could be wrong, you could tell me, hey, you're completely wrong, shut up, and that's okay too, but it seems it's been initially a hit, and then it's kind of taken time to get really rolling again then after that. Like, obviously you've had the Inter Miamis and the Atlanta Uniteds and all those guys who've come into it recently, but what's the feeling about this most recent expansion that's been announced or may be announced?
So the most recent one that came in is St. Louis, who start this season. And St. Louis is the city in America that probably has the most soccer history. So it's honestly surprising it's taken this long to get a team in St. Louis. So that one's kind of different. I'm really excited about that. But, like, if you look at recent expansion, Atlanta United, they're, I think, top 20 in the world or top 25 in the world in attendance. Like, that is incredible. So, like, that has been a fantastic addition to the league. LAFC, the team that had Gareth Bale, who just retired, Giorgio Chiellini, like, and a lot of young South America. Diego Rossi went to Fenerbahce from there. Brian Rodriguez came through and he went to Mexico. Like, some of these recent expansion teams have been really great for the league. So, look, there are a lot of teams, and, you know, there will be a 30th team. As you said, it might be Vegas, it might be San Diego. That's a lot, and it's a lot for somebody like me to kind of keep hold of. That's a lot of games to watch. It's a lot of people to talk to. But all in all, like, expansion has served the league very well.
Yeah, and we're obviously thrilled that it could be Vegas Villains and our owners could own that franchise as well, because I think there wouldn't be a stag, or there wouldn't be a a boys weekend away or week away that wouldn't be booked to go to see the LA Villains. So that's a nice little city to have. That's nothing against Seattle. It's nothing against Cincinnati. Nothing against any of those places. But let's just say Las Vegas has a certain allure to it as well. So I suppose really just, and I know you've got other places to be in, and I thank you so much for your time today for jumping on at short notice. But if you were to sum up John Duran, I suppose in one paragraph, all in all, and what I suppose maybe best case scenario for him would be what, and then I think we'll leave it at that, because we're all dripping in excitement here at the moment. We're looking forward to this, because usually, like, I think the last real exciting young player that came from the Americas that came to Aston Villa, okay, we won't mention Ulysses De La Cruz, just for anybody out there who's going to pick me up on that one, but I think it was Juan Pablo Angel. And a lot of fans my age in their mid to late 30s are going to be looking at this and going, this has this kind of feel about it. And Aston Villa are in such a better place to be able to nurture this foreign talents now, with regards to, I suppose, just even bring them into the culture and stuff like that, that we hope that this can come true. And obviously they've got the same heritage of being Colombian as well, and so on and so forth. So we're really excited about this. But so I think we'll leave it on, what would be best case scenario for John Duran in an Aston Villa shirt?
Best case scenario is John Duran comes in, whether it's, he looks really exciting kind of initially off the bench. At some point over the next 6 to 12 months, he becomes the regular starter. He scores goals. He lives up to the potential that his physical abilities and finishing abilities kind of show for him. And the reason why Benfica and all of these other clubs wanted to sign him, the reason why Chicago signed him when he was 17, that he lives up to this potential. He has, a season and a half of being the main man at Villa, scoring 10, 15 goals, whatever it is per season, and then being sold on for 50, 60 million in the future. Again, his ambitions are to be at one of the biggest clubs in the world. And Aston Villa is a great spot to be in. Even if he just stays with Villa for a decade, that would be a great spot as well. But this is a kid that genuinely has the potential to be at one of the biggest clubs in the world. So if everything goes right, if you're saying best case scenario, it's, He has a few really good seasons with Villa, scores a bunch of goals, makes a lot of memories along the way, and then out the door, it's 60, 75 million, whatever the number is.
Yeah, or Villa win the Champions League. That's the best case scenario, yeah?
He doesn't need the league, because they all come in.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. We're building a squad of players like Boubacar Kamara and John Duran, and hopefully other players will come in as well, that we will have that squad that will be the Champions League winners of the future, and then we won't need to let other players leave. That's the goal. That's the dream. That's what we
exactly.
All want.
Hey, I'm a big Football Manager fan, so that's what I'd say if I was going to Villa. I want to, before you let me go, I need to point out somebody in the comments just called me Young Burt Reynolds, which might be the nicest thing somebody's ever said to me. So I Eric C, I appreciate you a very great deal.
You've got a fan, Eric C. You drink for free in America. No, you drink for free. That's what happens. Yeah. Well, at least it's better than being called Santa Claus. That's what we're getting this podcast. So it's
not bad either.
Yeah. Don't follow Aston Villa too closely, because, as I say, I'm 37, man. My beard doesn't look there. I don't look 37. Do I? I look like I put on that Santa suit in the Tim Allen film. That's what I look like. So it's I take Burt Reynolds any day of the week. But Tom, I'm so appreciative for you giving me your time. It must be coming up to just noon there, yep, in the US at the moment. So I'm sure you're going to have a busy day of MLS stuff, and I'm sure there'll be lots of other European publications or whatever coming looking for your input on John Duran. And for that reason, I am absolutely so thankful that you took the time out here. Apologies for the technical difficulties at the start, said is absolutely fantastic. Tom, a lot of guys here are asking the chat as well to know where they can follow you, because obviously everybody here is football mad. They want to get into the MLS and so on. It would be one of the lesser viewed leagues, I suppose, over here. So do you want to give your details? I feel corny asking that, but
At Tom Bogert on Twitter, at Tom Bogert Soccer on Instagram. Apologies for soccer, not football, but I deal with a lot of transfers. You get a lot of transfer news from MLS and stuff like that following me, so
Yeah, Excellent. Perfect stuff, Tom. Really, really appreciate it. Really appreciate everybody for watching. Go follow Tom. Give this video a thumbs up. And as I say, we will be back probably with more John Duran information and facts and nuggets, I suppose, as they begin to break out. But this is a really exciting time, a really exciting transfer, I think, for Aston Villa because of the unknown. And I think that we should all just ride it with the excitement and not worry about too much about all of us worrying about how this will fail. This is going to be great. You heard Tom. He said it's going to be absolutely great. So I really appreciate your time once again, Tom. I really appreciate everybody in the chat. Thank you so much. We're going to leave it at that. And all that's left to say is up the Villa. Oh, I forgot my... See, I told you I was running on a rudimentary system. Up the Villa, everyone.